This is Ron Paul's Podcast Nation.
Ron Paul has left office. Well, he's busier than ever. We'll find out what he's up to. But for the first time in a very long time, he didn't get a chance to question the chairman of the Federal Reserve. What would he have asked Ben Bernanke? I'm Charles Goyette. We'll find out Ron Paul's Podcast Nation right after this.
This is Ron Paul. Thanks to our sponsors for making these podcasts available to you.
You went to bed with your life savings in the bank. You woke up broke. That's because an ID thief stole your identity, took over your bank accounts, and stole everything, including your retirement. And then it hits you. Wait, why didn't your identity theft protection help stop this? Because you didn't have the most comprehensive ID theft protection service available, LifeLock Ultimate. LifeLock goes way beyond guarding your identity, your good name, your credit. Those are essential, but now LifeLock is the only identity theft protection company that monitors bank accounts for takeover fraud. Visit LifeLock.com or call and mention Ron10, that's Ron10, Ron10, no spaces, for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate membership. Call 1-800-480-8210. That's 1-800-480-8210, 1-800-480-8210. So is there life after politics? Life after Washington?
You know, I've been kidded about being retired and not doing very much. And the only thing I say is that maybe they got the words mixed up. I got a little bit tired of Washington, D.C., and it was time for me to leave. And I think the life I have now is wonderful. I get to do what I've been doing for 35 years, promoting a message, promoting the cause of liberty. And fortunately for me, I still have, a place where I can, promote this message. So I'm excited about it. I've been traveling, and of course, most people know that I've always enjoyed going to the universities. And I've been to a couple universities already and will continue to do this because for some reason, an exciting reason for me to see the young people respond so favorably toward free markets and individual liberty and sensible balanced budget and the Constitution. So that's why I'm really hopeful in spite of all these negative things that are going on out there. So I get a chance to keep doing this, but in a various manner. You know, I will continue to write. I'm doing some work right now on homeschooling. I think that the public school system deserves some competition, and I think homeschooling is a very good option. And of course, the internet gives us some opportunities there. So I will continue to work with spreading the message of liberty through the internet and through schooling and speaking out. So this to me is very, very exciting. I will also be working hard on the two issues that I've considered very important. The first issue that motivated me to go into Congress was the monetary issue and sound economic policy of the Austrian variety. I'll continue to do that through foundation work. I have a foundation that I started in 1975, and it will also deal with foreign policy. Foreign policy to me has become more important to talk about. And all of a sudden, I came around to seeing the connection between foreign policy, endless war, and how they are financed and why people get poorer when wars are being fought. Not only poorer in the literal sense, but people get poorer because they have less liberty, too. Under the global war of terrorism, you know, it's a domestic war on liberty. Under conditions of war, whether you go all the way back to the Civil War, it seems that under those conditions, people get frightened. They give up their liberties too easily. So I'm going to continue to work on the foreign policy issues, the monetary issues, and, of course, reach as many people I can through the radio vehicle. And who knows what will come of it. Somebody told me once that if you have a message, you don't have to go begging and pleading. If somebody wants to hear it, you just make yourself available. And I feel very lucky that I was able to serve in the Congress and very fortunate, of course, that I was a medical doctor for a long time because I love medicine. I love delivering babies. So my life has been very, very productive and plentiful, and I enjoyed it. And right now I'm really enjoying my liberty in the sense of my schedule. I have more control of my schedule, and hopefully I can be productive in my efforts.
Well, you have a very busy schedule indeed. In fact, to underscore the point, I should mention that we caught up with you in Toronto for this conversation. So you have a very full plate with these great podcasts, your daily radio commentary, Ron Paul's America, the new book, and more. But I have to tell you that a lot of us missed you the other day during Ben Bernanke's congressional testimony. We always enjoyed a chance to see you shine a little economic light on the issues.
Well, you know, I had to admit the other day when I was asked about that, and I wrote a little bit about it, that I haven't missed Congress, but I was sort of thinking about that, too. You know, that was the first hearing over all many years that I wouldn't be there to ask the questions. So I posed a couple theoretical questions that I might have asked him. But I kept thinking back about that one quick question I asked him once, and sometimes the quick questions and the short questions are better than those long-winded questions when I asked him about is gold money, and it was sort of took him back a little bit on that. And of course, since that time, a lot of central banks have been buying gold. So the question I would pursue, and I've pestered him about this before, is, why is it, if gold is not money, why are some central banks buying up gold? Maybe he's not doing it, and maybe Americans aren't doing it. Maybe the West isn't doing it, but they're doing it in the East, and it should send a signal to us. But I don't worry too much about whether I'm right or wrong, or he's right or he's wrong, because I think truth wins out in the end. It'll be known. And I just feel more comfortable about history. Understanding monetary history, they've tried paper for a long time. 1,000 years ago, the Chinese tried it. But paper always fails, and gold always lasts. So some claim that they actually used gold 5,000-6,000 years ago as a currency, as money. So I don't think that he can, you know, actually reverse history. So they're arguing a case that, oh, yes, we're going to play magic tricks with money and make paper money. And now it isn't even paper. It's just computer entries. And if you look at the monetary policy today, and the other question I would have pursued him is, you know, with all this effort, you've been into this for 5 years now, show me the results. Just recently, I saw a report coming out of New York City. This is devastating. 50,000 homeless people every night, and it's a peak, you know, that's the highest ever in New York City, people homeless. And this to me, you know, they always talk about the bleeding heart liberals that do care about the poor. Well, in some ways, I tend to be a bleeding heart because I really empathize with the poor and the middle class. But understanding this from free markets, we know the middle class and the poor suffer the most from the liquidation of the monetary wealth. When you destroy a currency, the wealth is transferred from the middle class and the poor to the very wealthy. That is what's happening today. And this failure is so devastating, and yet there's a lot of wealth in the country based on debt, basically, but there's a lot of people still suffering. But if anybody cares about the poor, they need to look at free market economics and sound money and why central banking is so destructive and why freedom actually works and produces. We did in the 20th century prove that communism was a complete bust and a total failure. We're now in the process seeing the total failure of Keynesian interventionist economics, where it's welfareism and inflationism and deficit financing, all that they justify and claim that it's a perfect system. That is ending. That's why we live in very exciting times, and it offers an opportunity for us to help rebuild it. And this is where I think the young people are coming in. The next generation, they're listening. They know what they're getting. They know that it's not automatic, that if the government just prints more money, everybody's going to be wealthy. They know the difference. So in spite of all the problems we face today, I see a light out there where a lot more people are looking toward liberty and less government, rather than saying, oh, the government will take care of me from cradle to grave and I'm going to be okay. It just isn't happening. The evidence is out staring us in the face that Keynesian interventionism and welfareism is a failure.
Well, you certainly have had an outsized impact on your time, on the political debate, and on young people. And even actually on other members of Congress, I thought watching Bernanke's testimony in your absence that there were a couple of members there that were asking the kinds of questions that they had never asked before, questions that were born, I think, of listening to you over the years and learning a little bit about the Fed's mismanagement of our monetary affairs.
Well, I think you're right. You're seeing a change, and You know, there was a time when I felt pretty lonely, trying to talk about these issues. But today it's almost like an army when you get 6 or 8 or 10 or 12. It's wonderful. But I tell you what, I never operated on the idea that I would be a great political person and become chairman of the banking committee and institute the gold standard. I understood a little differently that attitudes have to change. The people have to understand what's going on. But where I feel somewhat pleased is that in the last 5 years, the people found out about the Federal Reserve, and the people went to their congressman and said, you should at least look at and support Ron Paul's audit the Fed bill. This is just an opening up of the system. Why don't we know what the Fed is doing? And because of the pressure from the grassroots, it has passed the House twice to audit the Fed. It's been stopped in the Senate, and hopefully it will eventually get passed. But that attitude didn't exist 5 years ago. People hardly even talked about it. But I discovered this as I was campaigning in the 08 election. I was going to universities, and the young people were responding. It wasn't because me teaching them as much as there is a grassroots understanding through the internet or whatever, but there's a lot more people out there that have studied and understood and know, and they've heard about the Austrian economist, and they know that there's something seriously wrong with our central banking system. So I'm very encouraged by that, and I think what you've noticed there is a true thing, that there have been changes, and it's a lot more popular to talk about sound money and the problems with the central bank, which is our Federal Reserve.
Thank you very much, Ron. And that's Ron Paul's Podcast Nation. I'm Charles Goyette.
Ron Paul's Podcast Nation is available on iTunes. See more at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.